Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 99 of the car wash. Next week's the big 100. On today's show, is Pitso generally under pressure? Should Chiefs keep Nurkovic and Mokoena signs for Sundowns? Whether you're tuning in on SL Podcast at Ciro.za, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Mighty King 96.7 Game Time, welcome to the show. I'm Sean Robertson. Of course, I'm not alone. I'm joined by the legend himself, Mr. Teko Modise. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Sean. How are you?
I'm so good, bro. I'm so good. What's happening at your side? How's the baby? How's work? How's AFCON? What's happening? All under control?
Can't complain, man. Everything is good.
That's what I like to hear. Let's keep the spirits up with an amazing joke of the day. My doctor told me I was going deaf. The news was hard for me to hear. Thank you. Thank you. Not bad, hey?
Not bad. 2022.
New beginnings, brother. New beginnings. But take off from there, we move on to pole position. Pole position is the segment where we ask our fans and our supporters club a certain question and get voice note replies. This week we asked you, with guests on Cerulean not getting proper game time with Sundowns, should the Uruguayan move clubs? And this is what you had to say.
I think it's time for him to move, actually, to get a new club in Great Africa League.
Augustin Sereno, Uglesimoska Kekan. He is a victim of being a former coach Pitso's favorite. He dug his own grave, ngokuthi aforce a move yokuya kwi Al Ahly. That's when the real problem started.
Captain Sereno needs to get another club.
It's better for him to get another team so that he can play regular.
I think Augustin must be released. He was not that happy after coach Pitso Ahambe Sundowns, and now Sundowns can manage to score goals. They can manage to win without him.
He's got some issues with the technical team. So it's not the issue of form. It's the issue of the differences between them.
It's very frustrating. He's just there, but now his mind is no more there. Clubs to release players if they want to move.
This guy, I think it is time for him to move to one of the clubs. Pirates, Chiefs. He can fit very, 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 very nicely there.
So we are even forgetting that Sundowns is still having Gaston Sereno. So
that one is not our business, because even if he's not playing, we won't buy him. I know Chiefs.
Your text, I mean, it's a tough one. What's interesting with a couple of guys said there, which is, you know, which we know, is that a coach can literally make or break your career. And I think with Pitso being at Sundowns, Cerulean was his boy. With Pitso leaving Sundowns, Cerulean wasn't necessarily the current coach's boy. There was links with Cerulean leaving to go to Al Ahly, which didn't materialize. He voiced his pleasure in wanting to leave Sundowns for Al Ahly. So with that move not materializing, I think there might have been a bit of a target on his back. We've seen in the past, Teko, with players possibly signing pre-contracts with other clubs that don't get to feature in the last 6 months of their contract. I don't know how long Cerulean has left on his contract. I do feel there's another year left after this year. I know that Sundowns won't just let him go. What do you think of that? I can't see a move materializing now to Al Ahly. It's a tough situation for Cerulean. He's got a target on his back. He's not in favor with the current coaches. There are very, very good players in his position. I'm not saying he shouldn't be starting, but what do you think Cerulean's future looks like at Sundowns, Tex?
Look, I think Cerulean's future at Sundowns is just like every player that is at Sundowns.
Yeah.
If you work hard enough, you and if you show the right mentality and deliver what is required, I think you stand a chance of staying at Sundowns.
Yeah.
But also we need to also remember that he signed a new contract and then he wanted to leave.
Yes.
And then when situations are reversed, you normally say it's teams should respect contracts, but vice versa, players should also respect the contract. And you can't just leave when you feel like leaving.
Yeah, of course.
There's rules into this. And coming back to that, at the end of the day, any player is expected to deliver what is required. And this is me assuming, I would like to believe that he's going through a slump of form, and every top player actually goes through that. And when he comes out, I think he will be back to his normal. But the thing is, Sean, you, as a footballer, I've always said that irrespective of what situation you're in,
yes,
because at the end of the day, your attitude determines your future action. So if your attitude is right towards football, irrespective of what your surroundings are, I think when that opportunity comes through that you've been crying for, you better be ready when it comes through, because you're going to be thrown into the deep end, and you'd wish that you'd been playing for the last 10, 8 months. So I feel like he's still part of the team. He's still an asset to the team. I think he can still do great in the club. But of course, he's the biggest talking point because of what he has achieved in the club and the performances that he has given the club. So with all the support that he can get in the club, hopefully he'll come back and be a better player or show what he was given to the club. But I think what he's going through, I think every top player has been through.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, I'm sure you can speak about that as well. But it's not an easy situation to be in, you know, because the less game time he gets, the value of him obviously diminishes. You know, where would he go after this? That's the question. If he doesn't get game time in the next 6 months, you know, his value obviously diminishes quite a lot, like I've just said. But also with Pizzo's future, which we'll get into now, at Al Ahly possibly not being too long term, it is a bit of a touchy situation that Serino's in. So we will watch the story unfold over the next couple of months. But I think we both can agree he's a top player, one of the better midfielders we've seen, or attacking midfielders we've seen in the PSL for a very, very long time. But let's move on to that Pizzo story. You know, Pizzo has come out, well, I would say the head of football of Al Ahly has come out and said some, I wouldn't say bizarre stuff, Teko, but he certainly hinted that, you know, if Pizzo was to leave, you know, we would like to thank him. He's done such a good job. Why would you start saying stuff like that? I know Pizzo has been very vocal about him not getting his contract or his extension signed before the Club World Cup that he's leaving, I think, pretty soon for. The head of football of Ahly has said exactly what I've just said now. It's just that, you know, if Pizzo was to leave, you know, he's won us trophies, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't sound too convincing, does it?
But also the thing is, we don't know the context of that statement.
Yeah.
We just know that line. And I think in most cases we get to read too much into this type of things.
Yeah.
I think Pizzo is important to Al Ahly, and I think so is Al Ahly important to Pizzo as well.
Of course.
Both of them, they play a good role. And of course, negotiations with such a big club and from such a big coach, it's not something that can just happen within 2 days, you know. And I don't think the question of Pizzo staying, I don't think it's a big issue. I don't think that's maybe part of the contract. Maybe there's better negotiations that are going through, other things that are required, and the negotiations take time, you know. And of course, probably maybe from the club's point of view, they say we are great now, but this is not new to us. So therefore, if probably the coach decides that he doesn't want to be part of us anymore, we will probably still continue. You know, maybe it's just maybe one of those moments where a club official is trying to protect the image of the club by saying we are alive, we will survive with our culture, those type of things. And you get that
Correct. In
such teams because they are the best team in the continent. So there's going to be a lot of arrogance behind it. But I strongly believe that since Pizzo went there, I think Al Ahly has gained more fans. I think Al Ahly has been more conversations than any African club. And they know the value that Pizzo brought, and they don't undermine him anymore. They don't just undermine Pizzo or South African coaches anymore. So we're in a good space. And I think what Coach Pete is doing is actually opening doors for other coaches to follow suit. So the longer he stays in that space, the better for other coaches as well. So we all know that that's the space that he needs to stay at. So the statement, let's don't read too much into this one. But sometimes you get an ex-footballer that now is in a representative position who normally say that.
Yeah.
But we've heard stories from Al Ahly in the beginning, even when a few weeks after Peter arrived. So here we are a couple of years later.
Yeah, it's you know, it's very interesting what you said there. Is that maybe I'll change your words a bit, but a big team like Al Ahly need a big coach like Pizzo for sure, and it's obviously good for all the coaches locally as long as Pizzo stays abroad, in terms of he keeps the hope up that anything is possible in football. But let me just read to you what Saeed Abdelhafiz said. Al Ahly were very successful under Mosimani, so were is in past tense, which is weird. Frankly, he deserves something great because he has won a lot of titles. It's true that the way Al Ahly is run helps any individual who comes to work here, but it's important that Mosimani gets what he deserves in terms of an increased salary, which is fine. He ends off though saying the main takeaway is that Mosimani achieved, past tense, a lot with the club, whether he stays or not. Like it's a weird one, bro.
Yeah, but also what I'll say is a big club like Al Ahly deserves a great coach like Peter.
Love
if
that.
They're going to treat him like an ass, but they don't deserve. They can continue with what they've been continuing, but they'll never get another great coach like Peter.
I love that. And very, very true. Talking of greatness or goodness, however you want to put him, let's talk about Samir Nurkovic. You know, there's talk of him staying, going, should he stay, should he go? You know, I'd love to get your opinion on this, Teko. There's a cool write-up on this in the Soccer Laduma, which you guys must go get. And let's just start with it, really. The four reasons to keep Nurkovic, just to go through that quickly. He is unplayable at his best. We know that. We've seen that. He has changed Chiefs fundamentally and the PSL in a certain way. The other forwards around him are aging, Tex, which we cannot disagree with. So he's, I wouldn't say he's young, but he's a lot younger and he's still got a lot left in him. I'll go through these first and we can sort of get into them a bit if you want, Tex. Increasing value for a sale. You know, I wouldn't necessarily, I think he sort of reached his peak when he was at his peak the last season when Chiefs came second. I can't see him being at that level now in terms of a sell on. The reasons to offload him, let's have a look. He doesn't suit Baxter's style. We can agree or disagree with that. We'll talk about that. He can't stay fit. He has had his issues with injuries. We know that. And he's going through a major dip in form, and every player does. But anything that sticks out with you there, Tex, that we could just touch on?
I think it's the style of Baxter's style.
Yeah.
I think it with due respect, what is Baxter's style? And why do we treat this in such a manner? Like us also as fans, we normally, when a player is off form, we quickly forget what he has done. We want to move on to the next.
Yes.
And when the player does that, we always accuse them of betrayal. So there needs to be fairness in this. I think Nurkovic is giving himself to the club the last 2 years. You remember when she was struggling to even win a friendly match? When they were battling I think they were battling, I don't know how many games they couldn't even win.
Yeah.
Nurkovic came back, and that's why they started collecting points.
Yes.
But they had a bad season. And then they actually ended up going to the Champions League, the final. They lost. Yeah. And then Nurkovic then went on to do what he's supposed to do, to fix himself for the club, because he was giving himself for the club. There's a lot of guys that could have stepped up, you know, when Nurkovic was in there, or Nurkovic isn't there. None of them are stepping up.
Yeah.
When you speak of KZ Chiefs, the only player that is likely to be spoken about lack of form, especially in striker's position, is Nurkovic. Not all of them that are playing in striker's position, they ignore.
Correct.
And they ignore for a reason, that because Nurkovic has set such a high standard that KZ achieves. So now they're saying, no, we need to get rid of him and replace him and get another one. Instead of saying, why aren't the other guys raising their games as well? Because when he was raising his game, Kaizer Chiefs was playing better. How? Why are the guys not contributing the same way that he can? Why can't we say, because I remember now, Sean, honestly, let's speak.
Yeah.
You can say Nukovic had a best season. At Kaizer Chiefs, at some point, Nukovic had was the best player for Kaizer Chiefs.
Of course.
And then after that, who can you actually say that was the best player for Kaizer Chiefs any season coming to now?
Yeah, good point.
So we're still waiting for somebody to perform better than Nukovic.
Yeah, there's a couple of, I mean, maybe Injibulo Blom in a way, he's obviously the most exciting player coming through, but in terms of what you ask.
Yeah, exciting in mobile also is exciting. There's no other player that is exciting, but has somebody performed better than Nukovic ever since?
No, no.
Yeah, come on. It's just that it's with South African football, we always quick to criticize. And when a player is in that position to, when he's on top of the game, he wants to leave. There's always this animosity, like, now we've helped him to get home. Now he wants to be. Now when the players are at a deeper form, because of injuries, now we need to replace him. I just think that it's not fair, especially for players. I think players like that need to be given a chance and opportunity to recover and be better, because you need the type of player, you need the type of aggression. It's been a while in South Africa seeing a type of striker like Nukovic where he's, it's just, you know, he just plays with his heart.
Yes.
He goes all the way. And for me, it was very interesting to see that. It was refreshing to see that, you know, he was that type of a player. And
but he's still there, Teko. He's still there, right?
Exactly.
Do you think the major dip in form that I spoke about earlier has got to do with that he doesn't really suit Schutbach's style of play?
Look, man.
And is that true, though, that he doesn't suit Bax's style of play?
But also the thing, the question is, when Baxter came through, Lukovic was busy doing the surgery. So now Baxter had to make or form a system with the players that he had. And things started working out. So it's going to be very difficult, of course, for a player like Lukovic to come back and fit into that system.
Yes.
You're trying to find yourself in. You're trying to readjust to that, because normally when you're on top of the game, you with the lone side. So now things are a little bit different. But he's a player that needs to adjust. So is any other player.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of time. It just needs to be given an opportunity. And probably maybe with this January window, that's what you need as a player, as many friendlies as you can.
Yes.
Build your confidence. Because any player can be a great player with confidence.
Correct.
Any player can be great. So you just need confidence. That's it. And with some players, of course, with injuries, a lot of reasons that they lack confidence, and that also becomes an issue of form. But I mean, we've spoken about form from all the international stars, all the local players, and I think Nukovic is no different.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would hate to see him leave. I think he's certainly one of the better strikers we've seen in the past 5-6 years in the PSL, and his form pre this has proven that. So I think be patient. I'm a Kwazi faithful. I think he will be coming back once he's 100% fit. We know what he's about, and we know the ability to link with the other front too. So but let's move on to the international news desk. We are joined by Soccer Duma's news correspondent, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. How are you doing today, Kurti?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Hey!
Kurti, what's happening, Kurt? How's Sea Point?
No, it's lovely, man. It's lovely. Great weather out here. It's all good.
Not as good as the Comores starting 11. What happened there? Could I see the goalkeeper had to start at goals?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, the left wing had also left back or something.
Yes, I think it was So, basically, there had been a rule enforced by CAF when this tournament started that a player who tested positive for COVID would have to isolate for a further 2 days after returning a negative test. Yes. And that is how things were run throughout. Up until, I think it was the night before Cameroon played Comores in the round of 16 match. Apparently, CAF sent an email letting teams know that the quarantine period had increased to 5 days, which of course then affected them. So their goalkeeper, Ali Almada, had tested negative. He had returned a negative test, but because of this rule now, he was basically told he would not be able to play. They had to play an outfielder in goals. I don't know if you guys watched the game, or there's this amazing picture I saw on Twitter where the goalkeeper is about to face a shot from Vincent Aboubakar and he drops his hands. as if he doesn't want a handball. It was very, very funny. And I think Abubakar scored from that chance. But I think it's quite ridiculous that CAF couldn't make an exception just because the goalkeeper position is a specialist position.
Of course.
I mean, Sean, you will know that nobody can do that. You know, not any player can go out there and do that job. Especially as well as you. So I thought it was ridiculous. fair play to Cameroon for advancing. They weren't great in that match. And they had to play against 10 men for, I think it was for 87 minutes or 83 minutes. Kamal's got a red card in the 83rd. I mean, in the 7th minute. And they ended up scoring late in the game as well. So it was a bit of a scare for Cameroon. But I thought it was quite a ridiculous set of circumstances, for sure.
Yeah, I think, this whole thing, we're not going to go down this rabbit hole again, but this whole COVID story with sports, I mean, it's very difficult to fathom. But let's move on to, so it seems that Anthony Marshall's off to Seville, is that correct?
Yeah, he's there. He's been announced, been unveiled. He got a special message from his icon, his hero, the Brazilian Ronaldo, when he was presented at the stadium. So good luck to him. Good luck to him is all I can say as a Manchester United fan. But I think it's a good move for him. He needed to get regular football, especially with it being a World Cup year. He's had a difficult, I would say, year and a half at United, where he's been in and out of the side. He's not been very consistent. I think a lot of fans, United fans, are disappointed that he hasn't really turned into the player they believed he would turn into. He's 26 now. He's not a youngster anymore. And people still recall his best moment in a United shirt as it was his debut goal against Liverpool in 2015. Without any irony, they are sad to see him go. And then they post a video of his first ever goal on his debut 7 years ago. So I think that pretty much tells you that it's not really worked out for Martial. I think his best season, he scored 23 goals. Other than that, he hasn't scored above 15 in a single season. I think it's probably a good move for him.
He's gone on loan, right?
On loan until the end of the season. I don't think there was ever going to be an option to buy included in the deal. Because, of course, United will be hiring a permanent manager next season. So I guess they'll want to give that manager as many options as possible. So if he wants to use Martial, and if Martial has a great 6 months, then it'll work out for the club and for Sevilla.
So I think that the main reason he is off to Spain or not having the best of times at United is obviously the signing of Bruno Fernandes. Is that right?
What do you mean? Why Bruno?
Well, I mean, all the write-ups are saying that the main reason that he hasn't been or getting the enough game time is because of Fernandes, right? I'll show you the thing here.
I don't. If that's true, I'm sure it is being written out there, Sean. I don't think you're lying, but I wouldn't subscribe to that idea.
It comes as Marshall's problems with Manchester star United Bruno Fernandes has come to light. This is in the Mirror, the Daily Mirror.
Okay.
Made an honest mission. Yeah. So there's obviously off-field problems that they do not get along.
Okay. Interesting. I just think that he's not really a great out-and-out striker. He doesn't play very well as a nine. When he plays off the left, he's probably at his most dangerous. But Teko, I just heard you talking about confidence now, and he's got absolutely none of that. And when he is confident and when he is feeling himself, he can be very dangerous. But those performances seem to be very few and far between. He doesn't look to be up to it most of the time. That's what I think. I don't know how outsiders see it. But as a United supporter, I have been very frustrated with his performances, and I don't think that he warrants a place in the first 11. So, I think it's going to be a good move for him and a good move for Manchester United, who I think need to get a few players off their books.
I agree. Let's move on swiftly. Mario Balotelli returns to the Italian national squad. That's a bit of a shock.
Yeah, will anyone ever learn? So Mancini and Balotelli they've always had a good relationship. Mancini gave him his debut at Inter Milan 2007, then signed him at City, I think it was 3 years later. So this recall, so it's just for like a special training camp. Italy don't have any fixtures this month. They only play in March, which is the World Cup qualifier playoff. It's against North Macedonia. Of course, they haven't yet qualified for the World Cup. So I think that with a few injuries to the team right now, they just need to sort of fill up space. But of course, Balotelli's having quite a decent season in Turkey, and maybe if he trains well and shows the correct attitude and all of that stuff, maybe he gets into that team in March. But I think it's probably too early to say. He's actually got a decent record for Italy. He scored 14 goals in 30-odd games. But I think it was a shock because over the last few seasons, he's kind of been anonymous. He's been playing for like, he played for a Serie B team 2 years ago. He was playing in France and then had a huge fallout with Patrick Vieira there at Nice. So it's been a strange couple of years for him, or a strange career, really, for Balotelli.
Yeah, yeah.
But I completely understand why this would come as a shock to the footballing world.
Yeah, he just seems to create more damage than add value wherever he goes, right?
Yeah, I mean, you guys will know, being City fans.
Why always me?
Why always me? Amazing.
Good. Curtis, is anything else you want to add? Anything we should be keeping our eyes on in the next week or so?
I think we'll speak next week about, we'll probably do like a transfer wrap on you. But there's some big deals, I think, set to go through.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys heard, but Newcastle are set to sign a very, very talented midfielder from Lyon called Bruno Guimarães. And he's a Brazilian international. And he is not a player who would only make Liverpool starting 11, Manchester United starting 11, but he would better and strengthen those teams significantly. So for Newcastle to be signing a player like that, it's quite a shock. I think he is available for around 30 million. Apparently Newcastle are about to triple his wages. A lot of fans of like United and Arsenal, Liverpool seem to be angry that they're allowing Newcastle to land a player like this. So just keep an eye on that. And then, you know, there'll probably be some more transfer business at Arsenal, at United. But yeah, we'll talk about that next week.
Okay. All right, Curtis, thanks so much, my bud. We will see you same time, same place next week.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, cheers.
Cheers, pal. And from there, we move on to the motivational quote of the week. Outward change comes after we change from within. Basically, don't be a victim of negative self-talk, because remember, you are the only one who is listening. I love that. I'm going to leave you with that. And that is how we wrap up episode number 99 of The Car Wash. Whether you have been listening on SL Podcast at Zero Today, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mikey King 96.7 Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Roberts. And of course, that has been Mr. Teko Madise.
Hey, sharp, sharp.
Please don't forget, next week is our 100th show. I cannot believe we're there already. I cannot wait to be a part of it. It's been an amazing journey, but we'll see you same time, same place next week. Sharp.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is The Car Wash on the SL Podcast. Sizohlangana khona. Bana and Papa.